Hello, welcome once again to Leto's Law. I'm Steve Leto. Today we're not talking law, but it's a true story I'm going to tell you about. I ran across some old photographs while looking up for pictures for a previous video I did recently, and I came across a group of photographs and thought, yeah, that's a fun story. I should tell that story. It's a true story. A little over 10 years ago, maybe closer to 20 years by now, but my brothers and I used to get together 1 week every summer and visit Copper Harbor, Michigan. I've got five older brothers. Not everyone could make it every year, but those who could would get together in Copper Harbor. We'd bring our mountain bikes and we'd explore the area, and it's a great place if you ever get a chance to go there. The very tip of the Keweenaw Peninsula at the northern side of the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. Look at a map, you can't miss it. And you feel like you're on the edge of the planet because you're surrounded by Lake Superior, and it's a very, very beautiful place. And there's a lot of mountain biking to do up there. They've got mountain bike trails carved into the side of Brockway Mountain. But also, there's just a lot of logging roads and trails, and you can bike for days up there, just, you know, poking around, discovering stuff. It's a lot of fun. So my brothers and I were all on our mountain bikes out in a road called the Mandan Trail, and we're riding along, and it's a hot, sunny day, and the trail's like this, you know, just a dirt road, but I mean, there's traffic once in a while, but not much. We'd literally be out there for hours and not see anybody, no other vehicles, no other bikes, nothing. And one day we're riding along on that trail and we come around a curve and we see the tail end of a Jeep sticking up out of a ditch in a little wooded area. And the Jeep was green and it blended in pretty well. And at first you do a double take and you realize, no, that's the butt end of a Jeep sticking out of a ditch. And it very quickly became apparent that the Jeep had been in an accident the night before, a single car accident. And you could tell this because it didn't take accident reconstruction experts to figure this out. You could actually see the skid marks and what had happened because the windshield of the Jeep was over here, the skid marks over here, a couple small trees that got mowed down, and apparently somebody had been driving this Jeep along on the dirt road, probably at night, and had lost control, swerved around, and ended up nose down in the ditch on the left-hand side of the trail as we passed by. Now, there's a bunch of guys here. In the group are a couple engineers. In the group are a couple of guys who own Jeeps. So we stop and we're all studying this. And of course, the first thing we do is I'm like, let's look for a body. The guy who's driving this Jeep could be dead in the bushes here somewhere. So we get out and we're exploring, and it looks like whoever was in the Jeep walked away from it. At least we found out later that is in fact what happened. So it's not like we didn't find the body. There was no body to find. So while we're poking around looking to see what happened, one of my brothers goes, hey, you know something? Whoever put the Jeep in the ditch like this could have gotten it out, but didn't. And we're like, what are you talking about? And he goes, look. And this Jeep had locking and unlocking front hubs. And he checked, and both of the front hubs were unlocked. And I go, okay, but that Jeep is like almost like vertical. There's no way. And he goes, no, I'm pretty sure you could drive this thing out. And we're like beyond incredulous. And I said, no. He goes, no, but look, you can see. And there were spin marks. So the guy had been spinning his back tires, but not spinning the fronts. And I go, no. That Jeep is so close to vertical. I don't care if all four wheels are spinning or not. That Jeep's not getting out of there without a tow truck. And my brother says, well, you know something? He goes, if we had the keys for that thing, we could pull it out of there easily. We could drive it out of there. And remember, this is just a bunch of guys on mountain bikes. We don't have tools. We don't have anything. And somebody says, you know something? This is an older Jeep. There might be a way to get this thing started. And so we're kind of standing around. The next thing I know, I hear the motor cranking. Remember, it's a group of resourceful guys. And somebody goes, well, it's not starting. Hang on a second. So we pop the hood on the Jeep, and it turns out that there had been a wire that had been purposefully disconnected that had a wing nut that held it in place. So whoever had put the Jeep in the ditch feared that someone might come by and try to steal it or mess with it. So they had popped the hood, undone this wing nut, and pulled this wire off. And I forgot what the wire went to the coil or went to something, but it has something to do with ignition, obviously. And so this engine was not going to start, although it would crank. So somebody reconnected the wire and then cranked. Boom, engine starts. So now the Jeep is in the ditch like this, and it's running. And so we re-engage the front hubs. And there was a tow strap in the back of the Jeep. So somebody suggested, well, why don't we hook the toe strap up to it? There's five of us here, and one guy can sit in the Jeep and work the clutch and the accelerator, and all four tires will engage. And the other four of us can pull on this toe strap and see if that helps. Again, I had a camera. I can prove all of this. So anyway, make a long story short, or shorter at least, four people pulling on the straps, one guy working the clutch and the accelerator, all four tires spinning, and it works its way out of the ditch. I snapped pictures because I knew I didn't even believe what I'd just seen. So what we did then was we pulled the Jeep over to the side of the road, threw the tow strap back in the back where we found it, shut the engine off, popped the hood and redid it exactly the way it was when we found it, put it all back together again, and then rode on into Copper Harbor. Now, the funny thing is that we had seen this Jeep around town, and Copper Harbor is a small town. Even in the summertime when its population is much larger, it's still a small place. So we go over to the Mariner North, which is one of the places you can eat there. There's the Mariner North, there's the Minnetonka, there's the Tamarack across the street from the Minnetonka. But the Tamarack, the Mariner North, and the Pines at the other end of town are the three main places on the main drag there you can eat at. And we often ate lunch or dinner at the Mariner North. And there's, of course, a Harbor House also, but that's not in the main drag. So we walked in the Mariner North, and a waitress came over to take our order. And on a whim, we asked her, I said, by the way, do you have any idea who owns that turquoise-ish Jeep that we saw parked in town a couple days ago? And she goes, yeah, why? And we said, well, we want to talk to the owner. She goes, but why? And she had this interest in it that seemed a little out of proportion. So we said, well, we found it. It was back on the trail there, on the Mandan Trail. And we found it, came across it, and we were just kind of curious to know how it got there, and we wanted to talk to the owner. And she goes, well, that Jeep belongs to my brother. We said, oh, okay. Do you know where he is right now? She goes, well, he's working across the street at another business that's at the other end of town. And that business last time I was there was no longer there. It's been converted into something else. But she goes, that's my brother's Jeep. And she goes, but here's the problem. She goes, he came home last night without the Jeep. And so we were a little worried, and, you know, and we said, oh, okay, that's fine. But he's okay? And she goes, oh, no, he's fine. Why? And we said, oh, we were just curious, you know. And we didn't want to tell her what we had done, but we also didn't want to tell her that it looked like the Jeep had rolled over. And I mean, if he walked out of that, he's a lucky man. And so we ate our food, paid our bill, walked across the street. And we walk into the place, and there's a young man behind the counter who looks like he could have been in a Jeep that rolled over the night before, but, you know, pretty good for considering what he went through. And he said, hey, by the way, are you the guy who owns the Jeep? And he goes, yeah, why? You know, what have you heard, you know? And we go, well, we came across your Jeep out on the trail. And he said, yeah, you know, I had a little bit of an issue last night. I a little too fast for the conditions, probably lost it. And he goes, I put it in the ditch, you know? So, and we go, well, how are you planning on getting it out? And he goes, it's going to need a wrecker. It's going to need a wrecker. He's, I'm going to call down to Calumet. And he goes, I just hadn't called yet, but he goes, when I get off work, I'm going to call a wrecker and go out and meet him out there. And it's going to cost me a bunch of money. So we go, well, we got good news for you. He goes, what's that? And he's probably thinking, we're, you know, one of us is going to say, hey, we've got a wrecker, but we don't. So we didn't want to tell him that we really jimmied around with it too much. So we just said, you know something? I go, there's five of us and there's a tow strap in the back. Hope you don't mind, but we pulled it out and we put it next to the road for you. And he goes, that's impossible. There's no way you guys did that. And we go, don't know what to tell you. Go look. It's at the side of the road. We just saved you some money. Hope you don't mind. And he goes, are you guys serious? I go, yes. Now, I had photographs, but they were film. This is back in the days of film, my friends. So I couldn't prove it to him. And he goes, so I don't need to call a tow truck. We go, no. Now, obviously, the vehicle appears to have been damaged a little bit when it rolled. So that, you know, you have no windshield. But, you know, if the engine still runs, you can probably drive it home, you know. And he's still looking at us going, in his mind, he's thinking, okay, this is really good news. If these guys just saved me all the money it would cost to get a tow truck from a county away, have it come up here and go way out in the woods and yank something out of a ditch. And even if they don't have to tow it anyplace, it's going to cost a bunch of money. So that's the good news. But the bad news is simply the intellectual disconnect where he's going, but what you're describing to me is not possible. It's not possible that five guys could muscle that thing out of where I put it. He said, don't know what to tell you, man, but it's there to save you some money. Have a nice day. And we left. Now, I've told this story to people before, and they often ask, and they say, Steve, you're messing with some other guy's vehicle. That's not cool. Well, you know something? Once in a while in the universe, you come upon a situation that's beyond all of the rules that you've lived by previously. Okay? If I came upon somebody's car by the side of the road, I wouldn't mess with it. But this is a guy's vehicle that's out in the woods, and we suspected that it was stuck there and left there by somebody who couldn't get it out. And like I said, in the group we had, there were two guys who'd owned Jeeps. One of them actually still owned a Jeep at that time. There were two engineers, and there were five able-bodied men and a tow strap. Okay? Now, we could have ridden into town, spent the afternoon looking for the owner, waiting for him to get off work, asking him if he wanted to come out with us, and we would try to help him get it out. But then again, what happens if we get to town and we can't find the owner? We don't know. You know, so we just thought, well, you know something? In the grand scheme of things, weighing all of the equities, as we say, I think we did the right thing. I think if you asked him, he'd say we did the right thing. And I think if you said, by the way, Pete, now that you know the story, does it bother you that they left out the part about how they got your Jeep running somehow and used its own power to get it out? I have to imagine you'd say, you know something? No. I wouldn't have minded, especially with all the money you saved. And on top of everything else, the idea that somebody came upon your Jeep who knew how to get it started, knew how to get it out of the ditch, and they got it out of the ditch and left it there for you. They could have stolen it. Someone else could have come by and stolen it. Okay, but no one did. All they did was a good Samaritan deed. They got it out of the ditch and put it right there for you. I would have to imagine that most people say, you know something, that's okay. That's the story about the Jeep we yanked out of the ditch. Like I said, absolutely true story. The photos prove it. Questions or comments, put them below. Let's talk to you later. Bye-bye.